Amen. Y'all have to be sitting where I'm sitting to hear what's really going on back there. Remind me of being in a football locker room. Amen. We thank God for the men. Amen. 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 Doing ministry is hard work. Okay. Doing ministry is hard work, and you always have that slew foot. Slew foot, his agenda don't change. He want to see you fail or quit or die and go to hell. That's his job. He own it. He don't miss church. He don't miss Thursday nights. He don't miss Sunday morning. And he'll be the first one here, sunrise service. Amen. Amen. Having a sleepover. Amen. We're going to continue in our passion season. We've been going through Mark, and we're going to stay with Mark 14, our last sermon out of Mark 14. Then we're going to get to the trial of Jesus next week in Mark 15. Then we're going to finish up Easter Sunday with the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. And what a glorious time we should have as we march through the scriptures. We have one of the more popular verses of scripture today. All of us should be able to relate to it as we walk through this Christian journey. Mark 14, verse 66 through 72. Mark chapter 14, verses 66 through 72. All four Gospels tell this story because all four Gospels thought it was so important to God's people to know that we are fragile on our own. And as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, "And thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth." But he denied, saying, "I know not, neither understand I what thou sayest." And he went out into the porch, and the cock crew. And a maid saw him again, and began to say to them that stood by, "This is one of them." And he denied it again. And a little after, they that stood by said again to Peter, "Surely thou art one of them, for thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeth thereto." But he began to curse. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, "I know not this man of whom ye speak." And the second time, the cock crew. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. And when he thought thereon, he wept. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Father God, for everything you've done today. We thank you, Father God, for allowing the sun to rise. Father God, we thank you for allowing the blood to flow warmly through our bodies. Father God, we thank you for letting us be mindful to come out to the house of God. We thank you, Father God, that the doors are open. Father God, we thank you for these folks, these saints, rather, that have come out. Father God, we ask that you would just bless them, Father God. Give them a word from on high, Father God. Let them leave this place, Father God, knowing, Father God, that you are God and besides you, there is none other. And Father God, we pray for everything that's going to be said and done this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Peter, the believer's trial. The believer's trial. All believers face trials. Some of us have faced trials this morning just getting to the house of God. By the absence of some folks, we see that they've had trials because there's faithful folks that aren't here this morning, and we pray for them. But the text says that Peter was beneath. Beneath what? Verse 53, if we turn to verse 53 and let's put the text in contrast, in context rather, Jesus was above. We learned last week they had came into the Garden of Gethsemane and they had captured Jesus. Judas had planted a Judas kiss on Jesus' cheek, and the Roman guard had took our Lord and Savior away. And Peter followed. Verse 54 said, Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest. So Jesus was above. And Peter had most likely strategically placed himself below just to hear everything that was going on with his Lord and Savior. And all we are quick to say, well, Peter, he denied the Lord and everything, but Peter was there. Peter was there. He was below. He was paying attention. He was watching what was going on, listening. And he was in enemy territory. Okay. Verse 55 and 60 say they tried to gather up witnesses to accuse our Lord and Savior of blasphemy, of anything worthy to put him to death. They wanted him dead. Mighty dead. And his time was yet. Then it says out of frustration, verse 60. It says, the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus. He knew he was going to get a true answer. And he asked Jesus, basically the same thing the little maid girl asked Peter. So while Jesus was up top, on the top floor, being persecuted and being tried and accused and slandered and lied on, he was taking it. And he was being honest because he knew what he had came to do. It says in verse 60, and the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, said, answer, thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? They had no witness. But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him and said unto him, art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? Well, you know you're going to get the right answer now. And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. And they knew just what he meant. Just like you're judging me, I'm going to be the judge. And I'm coming back. And if you read Revelation, you'll realize the story. He said he's coming back as the Lion of Judah. He's not coming back as a little baby in the manger. See, some folks still have Jesus in the manger. But he's coming back. He's come back with all power. And then verse 63, and the high priest tore his clothes or rent his clothes and said, "What need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to death. That wasn't enough. Because Satan wants to humiliate you. See, he don't want to just condemn you to death. He wants to humiliate you. This is what verse 65 says. And some, you want to know what's the most humiliating thing you could do to a person? The most disgusting, despicable thing you could do to anyone. And it's gaining popularity in our country. A lot of times we'll see the judge be downtown, the judge, and they have spray masks. They have covers, shields that they put on inmates who want to spit on the judge. The same judge that's going to be sentencing them, they want to spit in his face. Because they don't want no mercy. Listen to verse 65. And some began to spit on him. Some began to spit on him. Spit on the Lord. Some folks still spitting on him. And to cover his face and to buffet him. That word buffet means to beat him. They covered his face because he was called a prophet and he would know who covered his face. And he did know who covered his face. He won't forget who covered his face. And they began to buffet him, to punch him, and to beat him, and say unto him, "Prophesy." And the servants did strike him with the palms of their hands. They beat our Savior. They slapped him around, they spit on him, and they mocked him. And ain't that how Satan is? He wants to slap us around. Slap our young folk around. He's slapping our young folk around. Beating them. Spitting on them. Some of our young people don't even think they're worth anything by the way they carry themselves. But verse 66, and it gets to our lesson. It says the believer's trial. Now, Jesus was on trial. And he hung in there and he answered all the questions and he took what he knew he was going to take. Because Isaiah 53 says that he was going to be beaten. And these Pharisees knew that. They knew that. In verse 66, we get into our lesson. And it says, and as Peter was beneath in the palace. So the palace was a two-story complex. It was probably open air, and Jesus was probably positioned right where Peter could hear everything that was going on. He probably was terrified. And when one of the maids came, there's verse 66, and one of the maids of the high priest, and a maid of the high priest, and some of them had damsel, but a maid of the high priest was a servant. Okay? It might have been a female that was really an officer, and their job was to man the place. They acted as security, and they would go around. This was a cold night. This was a kangaroo court that was set up at midnight. And this was a buzz in the city because these 600 soldiers had came in and arrested this miracle-making Jesus. He had done all the miracles. He had performed all the miracles, and they knew it. And he was the most popular person there was. They would never have picked him up in the daytime. And their cowardice, they came at night. And so as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And her job most likely was to monitor behavior, monitor the atmosphere. See if there was an uprising. See if this man who said he was a ruler really had came to overthrow. Because he said he was a ruler. And when she saw Peter, we're going to look at Peter's demise. We're going to look at the steps that it took for Peter to fall. And it's the same steps for us. And it says, as Peter was beneath in the palace, there cometh one of the maids of the high priest. And when she saw Peter, what was he doing? Warming himself. Warming himself. She looked upon him and said, and thou also was with Jesus of Nazareth. Peter should have been proud of that. I mean, to be known to be with Jesus. Peter was the one that said, thou art the Christ. When Jesus asked him, he said, who do men say that I am? And the other apostle said, some say you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elijah, some say you are a great prophet. But Peter butted right in and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter knew who he was. But Peter was ashamed. Have you ever been ashamed? Think about this. Are we ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? Have we been there? I have. I've been there. Been there recently. This is the trial of the believer. It ain't easy. Or it's not easy following the Lord. Christianity is tough. When people want to be entertained, they don't want to hear it, but Christianity is tough. And when we look at what's going on in our world, when we look at what's going on in our school systems, and one of the politicians came out last year, she was running for congressman up in Maine or something, and she said, no, what's wrong with our school system? Why are we having all these murders? And she said, because people, the world, or the school system have taken prayer and Bible study out of the schools. And they ridiculed her and they mocked her and the media got on her and they used that against her. She won the primary, but she lost the main election because she stood for biblical principles. But she stood. Are we standing? Let's look at Peter's denial. Let's look at Peter's denial. Peter denied him. He denied Jesus Christ to four groups of people. If you look at the other gospels, he denied himself to two separate maids and two groups of people who were sitting at the fire. And it says in verse 66, and as Peter was beneath, there cometh a maid of the high priest. And when she saw Peter, she saw him first. She saw him. And then it says, and she looked upon him. So there's a difference between her seeing him and looking upon him. She studied him. She studied his mannerism. She studied the way he carried himself. And this is what the world does to us. It studies us. Satan studies us. And this young maid represents the world. She represents the world because the world's going to accuse you of being one of them. And we don't want to be one of them. We want to fit in. This is why we look like the world. We talk like the world. We do what the world do. We do everything the world do. So somebody has to really look at us. Now, she's not one. She's not one of them. Or she wouldn't be doing that. He's not one of them, or because he wouldn't be doing that. You know, I've told the story. If we were on trial for our Christianity, would we be found guilty of being Christians in our workplace and in schools? I wonder if we put some of our young people on trial and try to convict them of being Christians. What would your friends say? Guilty or not guilty? Would there be enough evidence in your life to accuse you and charge you of being a Christian? That's a good question. This is what Peter did. Peter denied. Verse 68 said, and Peter denied. How did Peter go from saying, thou art the Christ, to denying? Let's look at it. Let's look at verse 27. The first thing we see that caused Peter's demise, he had a haughty spirit. Verse 27 of Mark 14. Peter had a haughty spirit. Peter was quick to rebuke the Lord. See, when you get to where you can rebuke the Lord, Jesus had to tell Peter one time that what? Get behind me, Satan. See, the word of God said, pride go before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. So when you all hyped up and jacked up and you think you all that, you on your way. Listen to verse 27. And Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. That's Jesus talking. That's in red. And then he goes on to say, but after that I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So Jesus is basically giving instructions. He's telling Peter, leave. When they come to get me, leave. Don't follow. But see, Peter, let the scripture talk. This is verse 29. But, see, when you ever talk to your young people, and you giving them sound advice, as soon as you finish the sentence, but mommy, but daddy, but auntie, I know what I'm doing. I'm invincible. It may happen to them, but it'll never happen to me. Some of y'all parents have heard that. Oh, it'll never happen to me. That's them. Amen. See, sin will always take you further than you planned on going and cost you more than you planned on spending. Amen. And some of us in here know about that. Because it's been costing us for 18 years. And it's still going to cost. Because anything alive costs money. Okay? Anything alive costs money. So if you bring it into this world, it's going to cost you money. You know what I mean, Reverend Jones?
Yes, sir.
All right. Amen. Listen to Peter. But Peter, verse 29, after Jesus told him to leave, he said, when they come to get me, leave. I got greater work for you, and I'm going to rise, and I'm going to meet you in Galilee. See, so but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. See, Peter got his own plans. See, Peter haughty. See, in the Bible, then we just talk about a haughty spirit. Pride go before destruction. Okay? And Jesus said unto Peter, your bad self. Well, Peter, you're so bad. You the rock. You the petrol. You the rock. You so strong. You so bad. A few verses earlier, you couldn't even stay awoke. Or a few verses ahead, he's going to fall asleep. Can't even pray. But now he's bad. Peter's bad. Peter's bad. A lot of bad boys and bad girls out where I'm at. Well, they bad because they didn't listen. They made decisions based on what they believed. This is what Peter says. He says, and Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee. Jesus say verily. Verily, verily, truly. He's saying to Peter, he's giving him another opportunity to just do what I'm saying. But he know Peter. He know Peter. He said, verily I say unto thee, Peter, that this day, even in this night, before the cock or the rooster, get that right, before the rooster crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. Three times.
Amen.
Before the rooster, now Ray and I, we go to the Campfield Fair. We don't go every year, but we've been many years. And we always find ourselves in that chicken coop. And them roosters really crow. And you can hear them. And I imagine if it was quiet in there and one of a rooster crowed at midnight or with daybreak, that thing would a piercing noise. So there was going, Jesus was giving him an undeniable fact. He said, before the rooster crow twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And that still wasn't enough, even though Jesus said verily, because Peter was on his own. He was on a mission for destruction. See, when the word of God speaks to you, and this is why it's so important that the man of God speak the word of God. When the word of God speaks to you, and you say, I don't care what it says. I'm going to do what I'm going to do. Jesus is going to let you go. He's going to get out of your way. That's your thing. Do what you want to do. That's what he's saying. Some folks got to learn the hard way. He said, thou shalt deny me twice. Listen, three times. Listen, verse 31. But he spoke the more vehemently. He was just crazy about this thing. I don't care what you say, Jesus. Wow. That's bold, ain't it? I don't care what you say, Jesus. I don't care what you say. I know me. He don't know this flesh. The Bible say the flesh. The flesh or the heart of man is what? Deceitfully wicked. Who can know it? You don't know what you're liable to do. No one in here. Listen, you have those who have no knowledge and those who have knowledge of God. Okay? Now, how does someone get from here to here? Christ. But how does someone with knowledge go from here all the way to having no knowledge? It just don't happen overnight. There's subtle little steps you take. You start missing stuff. You start not reading your Bible and your prayer life get bad. And next thing you know, you shift it. And see, once Satan gets you in the flesh, you liable to do anything. You liable to do anything. Satan wants you in the flesh. And he had Peter in the flesh. Peter is in the flesh. And this is where Satan wants us as believers. He wants to get us out of God's will into the flesh. That's when he can work with you. See, when he gets you out of God's will, now he can wreak havoc on your life. He can destroy your families, your loved ones. He that's what he want to do. His job is to kill, steal, and destroy. But he has to get you from God's will. And get drifting. That's why Hebrews 2 and 1 said, we must take the more earnest heed, lest we also should slip. Because God's not moving. Don't move. Satan wants you to move. Move. Man, I don't take all that. You can say, you know, just because your parents tell you don't just date these boys, they thugs. These boys, they thugs. They good boys. You know, they just like carrying pistols and getting high and robbing stores. But they use the money on you. They buy you nice stuff. She old. She don't know nothing. He old. Your daddy old. He don't know nothing. They did the same thing when they was young. That's old school. That Bible, old. You going to church. Suckers go to church. All that. You wearing a tie and all that. They don't take all that. Satan constantly in our ears. Listen to what it says. But he spoke more vehemently. If I should die with thee. You're going to have a chance, Peter. Before the cock crow three times, you're going to have it twice. You're going to have your chance. I will not deny ye. In any wise, likewise also said they all. Peter was the leader. You better watch who you following. You better watch who you following. Listen, he had a Haughty spirit.
Haughty
spirit. He said, I'm better than the other disciples. I'm better than the other disciples. I'm slicker. I'm cooler. I can do this. They can't maneuver around that palace guard like me. I'm Peter. I was a fisherman. I walked on water, man. Did any of the other ones walk on water, Jesus? I walked on water. Haughty. I was there. I was there when you fed the 5,000. I seen it. I know all this. I know you know what you're talking about, but chest all stuck out. That's his first step. A haughty spirit. Proverbs 18 says, pride. Pride. Go before destruction and a haughty spirit before it falls. Listen to what Jeremiah has to say. He said, the heart is deceitful above what? All things. And desperately wicked. Do you understand what's in your heart? Okay. Some of us who have less than average prayer lives and Bible studies, and we take in all that stuff. Some of us watch a lot of stuff. And the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're gonna act on some of that stuff. I mean, we watch so much murder and killing, and we watch this stuff. Satan is put that on your hard drive, and listen, once Satan gets you in the flesh, you kill somebody. And some people say, I'll never kill nobody. You can get behind the wheels drunk. Satan don't care how you kill them now. Had a group of young boys last year in Camel riding down the street 90 miles an hour. Why? Why? With a car full of people. Years ago, a group of boys and girls riding through Mill Creek Park, 90 miles an hour. Dude, can you imagine going through Mill Creek Park 90 miles an hour? What do you think makes them do that? What makes a person go through? I mean, I go through Mill Creek Park. If I hit 25, I feel like I'm going over the cliff.
Amen. Amen.
90 miles an hour through Mill Creek Park. The heart is deceitfully wicked. Peter had a boastful tongue. How about that one? Verse 31, we talked about it already. He had a boastful tongue. Peter was a boastful person. The Bible says he had foot and mouth syndrome. He always put his foot in his mouth. Remember the day of the transfiguration? Jesus was there, and Peter and James and John everybody was terrorized by what was happening. They was terrified. And Peter said, well, maybe we'll make a statue for Jesus and Moses and Elijah. He missed it. Jesus is not on the same level as Moses and Elijah. But Peter kept putting his foot in his mouth. He had a boastful tongue. You know, you could be too strong for God to use. You can be too strong for God to use. Think about that. God has to break you before he can use you. Sometimes he has to break you down. You know, so many folks are saved after major surgeries and bouts with cancer and heart disease and car accidents. Some folks are just too strong for God to use. Listen, turn to Isaiah 66 real quick. Isaiah 66. Talking about the man God uses, or the woman. I'm going to look at one. He said, thus say the Lord, the heaven is my throne, And the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye built unto me? Question mark. And where is the place of my rest? For all those things have my hand made. This is God's house. And all those things have been said the Lord. But to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit. And trembling at my word. That's the man God used. That's the woman God used. Some folks too strong to be used. Some folks too haughty and arrogant for God to use. That's what he said. But to this man will I look. That means this is the man I will use. Even to him that is poor. See, we have a church. We looking for rich folks. See, we want a church full of rich folks. See, God couldn't use the rich young ruler. Okay? He couldn't use the rich man in hell. But he says, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, a broken, meek and mild and gentle spirit. See, we got too many angry folks. We got too many angry ushers, too many angry deacons, too many angry ministers, too many angry preachers. Too big to use. Pastor's anniversary is bigger than Good Friday, bigger than the resurrection. Celebrate. Week long for the pastor. They ain't having no sunrise service. Oh, no. Be careful with that, folks. Be careful with that. So that's what he says. He says, and he trembleth. This man trembleth at my word. See, when you hear this man hears the word of God, it means something. It convicts him. It just tighten you up. Are you hearing that? Do you tremble at his word? When his word is speaking to you, and you know it's speaking to you. The Bible says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling. This is heaven or hell. We look at what's going on in this world. This country here we live in here is on the verge of national unrest. People don't even think about that. This Senate Bill 5, these folks is ready to riot in America. They're ready to burn America down. China got his military aim right at us. We owe China more money than we're ever going to pay them. And we just skirt around. We so cute in the pulpit. Dancing and singing. Playing with God. I hear him. Nobody want to hear the word of God. I listened to a preacher from Cleveland use an F word yesterday. F you. It means forgive. That's what he said. F you. It means forgive. And then he said, so you look around this church. F you. F your mama. Forgive her. F your daddy. Forgive him. F your kids. Forgive him. Then he said, F everybody. Just F everybody. Look around. F everybody. He said it over and over and over. And the folk were just laughing and clowning. And I mean, it's just. And I'm like, what's happening? And folks love it. Black folk love it. Black folk love it. Junk. Peter had a boastful tongue. That's a boastful tongue. When a preacher can get up in a pulpit and play and joke, that's a boastful tongue. See, don't take this serious. You don't take this serious. Listen. We look at these steps. Here's the third step Peter had. He was no longer vigilant. He no longer paid attention. He got careless. He got complacent. Peter got to the point where he felt like he had arrived. How do you know, Pastor? Look at verse
Look at verse number 33. Mark 14:33. Listen. I believe Jesus let Peter go because he had to deal with him. Remember in Saul, when you study Samuel, and God had took the Holy Spirit away from Saul. Samuel, rather. No, who said Saul? It's Saul. Samuel was a prophet, and God had took the Holy Spirit away from Saul. And Saul didn't know it. And he kept on doing his thing. And he kept on getting his head cracked. And listen here. Jesus was asking Peter, we studied this last week, to just wait at the entrance. Or wait at the entrance, I'm going to pray. And he came back three times and found Peter sleeping. Here's this man of God, this warrior for God, but can't pray an hour. Can't pray an hour. And many of us are like that. We can't pray 5 minutes. We can't pray 5 minutes. And we wonder why our loved ones aren't being saved. We wonder why our children aren't coming to church. And we can't pray. Prayer meetings, poorly attended. Not just here. Every church in Youngstown. Sunday crowded. Wednesday night, empty. Peter had gotten complacent. He had got to where he didn't need prayer. See, once you get where you don't need prayer, once you get to where you don't need prayer, you don't need God. I've heard people say, well, you know, I'm going to pray for you. That's the most powerful thing you can do. That's the most powerful thing you can do. Somebody said, well, I need some prayer. Folk need prayer right now here today. Some folk need prayer. Well, I'm going to pray for them. It's almost like a slight. I hear folk at my job, and the supervisor may say something to them. I'm pray for them. They really cussing. They really saying, I don't care about them. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. Well, you know, prayer is the most important thing you can do. The Bible says the effectual fervor prayers of the righteous avail of much. We just got to get right. We got to get right. Listen, Peter was no longer vigilant. He had a boastful tongue. He had a haughty spirit. And he was out of communication with God. He was out of communion. How's your communion with God? Peter, the verse 54 says, Peter followed at a distance. It says, and Peter followed him afar off. Are you getting closer to God? As we get older, we ought to get closer to God. As we get older, as we walk with the Lord, sin ought to make us sicker, bitter. But are we getting closer to God? Is there some distance between God and? How much distance is between you and God? It said Peter followed afar off, even into the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servant. You don't know how you far off? Who you sitting with? Who you sitting with? Listen, he said, and he sat with the servants. I know some say folks are so comfortable sitting with the enemy. Warming themselves. You warm yourself up with a whole lot of stuff other than fire. And some folks don't have no problem warming themselves with the enemy. Here the folks that was spitting in his Savior's face. He's sitting with them, warming himself. Listen. Are you warming yourself with the enemy? Because when them texts go off in the church, usually somebody that's not in church texting you. And then you have to ask yourself, why aren't you in church today? If you were at home, ask yourself, what is the reason? What is the reason that you're not here today? I told you the story about my school teacher friend that teaches at Chady, and he asked his class, and he asked the class of 30 people, how many of y'all went to church yesterday? It's Monday morning. None of them raised their hand. 800 kids over at Chady, and probably 20 of them go to church. And I mean, what's wrong with the schools? What's wrong with the schools? and you come to church or you come to school and you've been watching killing and murder and sex and violence all weekend, hard to teach them. Hard to teach them. Listen, listen. He was out of communion with God. Listen. And he set and warmed himself with the enemy and really turned himself around. 180 degree turn from where he was at probably a week earlier. And he was walking with Jesus. And he was listening to Jesus preaching, watching Jesus do miracles. He was there. He watched Jesus feed 5,000. He watched him raise Lazarus from the dead. He watched him heal a blind man. He'd seen all the miracles that Jesus had did. And now, he was sitting with the enemy. What happened? Somebody said, what happened, preacher? What happened? How did he get there? No prayer life. A haughty spirit. And a boastful tongue. And a boastful tongue. He there. Listen, let's go through the text a little. Verse 68. It says, but he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand I what thou says. He denied the Lord. He denied the Lord to the world. And he says, and he went out into the porch. He tried to get away. He tried to run. He was beneath the inside the palace. And now when the maid came, he ran. He ran outside. But see, the world is going to track you down. The world will track you down. And when he went out to the porch and he heard the rooster crow.
Yes, he did.
But he kept on going. See, some of us are roosters. I know Cindy and I, we're roosters. We want to be roosters to our young people, our young children. We want to be roosters. So when they go to do something crazy, they'll hear us. They'll hear us. See, our young folks, they stop. They don't want to be disciplined, but they need it. They know they need it. They need to be disciplined, but they don't want to hear. But when they go to do something, they hear that rooster. They hear that rooster. We ought to be praying. We ought to be praying. This ought to be a part of our prayer life. If I do this, how much pain and sorrow and suffering am I going to do to my family and my loved ones? Do we ever pray that?
Come on.
When we're on our knees and we pray, you know what? If I do this, if I do this, if I go out and get pregnant, or if I go out and steal or kill somebody or hurt somebody or do something crazy, how am I going to affect my family? Is that a part of our prayer? God, show me the tears of my mother. Show me the tears of my brother who will never see me again if I do this. We need some roosters. I always wonder why I see some folks, I don't know if it's superstition. Now they buy these roosters, and I don't know what it means because I know I think my mother-in-law has some roosters. Cindy will tell me on the way home, and I read this text, and I'm unsure what a rooster means. Some of you folks tell me after the service what it means to us. I don't know if it's coming out of Louisiana or somewhere, you know, but a rooster to me now means it reminds me to stay the course. I need that rooster.
Yeah.
As a pastor of this church, I need that rooster to tell me, look, you see what's happening, okay? You moving, you getting away from Scripture, you starting to get out on your own, okay? I need a rooster. I need a rooster. See, I don't have a problem preaching texts that apply to me. I love 1 Timothy in chapter 3, talk about the pastor. Blameless, husband of one wife, faithful, you know, vigilant. All that. I need to hear it. I need to hear it.
Amen.
But you guys need to hear it too.
Yeah.
To keep us on course.
Yes, sir.
Because if anyone in here fall, it's going to be, you know, that's the one. They went to Christian Bible Baptist. Okay. I remember working at General Motors and they used to have the prostitutes on Market Street.
Yeah.
Okay. And them General Motors folk would pick them prostitutes up.
And one of the brothers, one of the guys in our group, we had about 15 of them, and he had a name. It was so long. And when they put his name in the paper and his picture, I believe he ended up quitting for that. He was shamed. He was so ashamed that he got called. He was married, family, all he talked about, but he stopped and picked up a undercover prostitute. And they put him on Front Street so bad, you could see the shame. You could see the shame. He come to work. I mean, he bowled in all the different leagues. He was just messed up. And that's what Satan wanted to do to us. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to drag us through the mud. And then spit in your face and call you a fool. And hope you didn't know the Lord and send you to hell. Verse 69, and the maid saw him again. The other person said this was a different maid. So you can't run. Sin always takes you further than you plan on going. And another maid in verse 69 saw him again and began to say to them that stood by. Now it's a whole group of folks. Oh, you know, to the believer, when you leave out of here, young people, you leave out of here with them ties on, and the world gonna know you went to church. And their friends gonna tell you, gonna pick with you and mock you and tease you. You go to church, you believe in Jesus and all that stuff, and we'll get away from, no, I don't believe in Jesus. This is what Peter's saying. This is one of them. He's saying, this is one of them. I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. Peter had his opportunity. He already told Jesus, if y'all deny you, I want to be one of them. I want to be in the number. We sing all them songs. Oh, how I love Jesus. He had a chance to say right here, I love the Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. He had a chance, but what did he do? Verse 70, he denied again. He denied again. How many times this week have you denied the Lord? This week. How do we deny the Lord? How do we deny the Lord? By denying fellowship. And fellowship is so important to me. I believe that's the number one way to let you know you deny the Lord. You don't want a fellowship. You don't want to be around believers. You don't want to be around saved folks. Psalm 1. If you're not in the company of God's people, you're in the company of the devil's people.
Come on now.
Psalm 1 says, blessed is the man who walk not in the counsel of ungodly. Where are you getting your counsel from? Facebook? CNN, Fox, ESPN, some of us getting all kind of counsel from the world. And then he says, blessed is the man not only doesn't walk in the counsel, but don't stand in the way of sinners. This is an escalation. You see a progression. He goes from walking to standing to sitting. And Peter was sitting. Be careful who you're sitting with. You know, I work around people, and there's few people that I will sit down with. Because when you sit with them, when they get in your car and you sitting with them, guess what? Guess what? Everybody in the car going to jail. Okay, everybody in the car going to jail. Don't matter if it's only one joint or one hit of crack or whatever. You don't even know what these people are doing. You get in the car with them, you with them. Be careful who you sit with. I wish young people would hear this. I know so many folk locked up, ain't done nothing, but got in the wrong car. All them boys didn't have guns over there shooting just a couple months ago, or a month ago. Just in the wrong car. Bad company. He denied him again. Listen, he denied him again. Verse 70, and they stood by and said unto him, surely thou art one of them. For thou art a Galilean, and thy speech agreeeth thereon. Why? How did they know to speak? Because he was trying to talk his way out of this. Okay, he was trying to talk his way out. Peter was trying to talk his way out of this. And you know, some of us had children that had moved down south. And how long did it take before their voices changed? It didn't take long. My sister's been down there 30 years, and she's a Southern now. Everything. You know she from the south. Okay? And Galilee was the north. And Peter was in the south. And so they knew he was
one of them. But he still denied. He didn't want to be called in the number. This is what he says. But he began to curse and swear. Now, some folks say he started cussing. Know what he did? He called a curse on himself. He said it. I lie not. He said, if I'm lying to you, God curse me. That's what he said. That's worse than cussing. He's, you know how some folks say, you know, they'll come, especially me, they'll say, well, put your hand on the Bible. And if you're telling me a lie, something's going to happen to you. I mean, we've been through that. But here's what Peter was saying. He had called a curse down on himself. He wasn't up there throwing MFs and all that, which would have probably been better. But he called a curse down from heaven. He said, if I'm lying, God curse me. And then he began to swear. Then he began to swear, saying, I know not this man. Now that's deep. Basically, he was saying Jesus was a criminal. He was saying that, I know not this man. Basically saying, why would I have anything to do with a criminal? Swore to that, saying, I know not this man. Read the text. But he began to curse and to swear, saying, he said what he said. He said, I know not this man of whom ye speak. He was in contempt of Jesus. He was saying, this man is foul. This man is nothing to me. And the second time the cock crew again. And Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said unto him. And before the cock crew twice, thou shalt deny me three times. And he had denied him three times. And he said, and he went, and when he thought thereon, he wept. And that word wept means he continually cried. He cried and cried and cried. It's not like these little crocodile tears that we do. Cry for 5 minutes and move on. But he cried. So we look at the steps that got Jesus, got Peter where he was at. You see a lack of communication with God, a lack of fellowship, a lack of personal and group Bible study. We have Bible study here. And folks start drifting away because the world starts crowding out their life. They find different reasons to come. And every reason is good. Okay? Every reason is good. But is it going to be good enough? Is it going to be good enough for the Lord? Lachey's coming out teaching our youngsters. Teaching them the Bible. Teaching them the books of the Bible. Kicking them out of their class when they want to act simple. God bless them. Yeah. If they want to act a fool, kick them out. Don't kick them out.
That's right. Kick them out. Amen.
You kick them out. And if we need youth instructors, we'll find one. Listen. Prayerlessness. Prayerlessness. That's how we get away from God. When we start drifting from God, we start drifting from our prayer life. We ought to be ready to pray. I ought to be able to call anyone in here to pray at any time. Yeah. Reverend Jones ought to be able to call anyone in this church to come up here and pray and do altar call. Pray for this church. You ought to want to pray. You ought to be sitting out there, Reverend Jones, looking around. You ought to be, call me, call me. I want to pray. We ought to want to pray. It don't have to be fancy. It don't have to be fancy. Folks say some people make you don't want to pray because they just throwing words here. Some folks got the gift of prayer. Amen. And they pray so good and smooth. They haven't prayed the same prayer for 15 years. Listen. Hannah prayed for a child. Abraham prayed for Sodom. Moses prayed that the Red Sea part. See, people have been praying for a long time. Elijah prayed for what? For rain. Jabez prayed for prosperity. David prayed for forgiveness. David prayed for forgiveness. Some folks need to ask God, forgive me. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. For I have sinned. And the Bible says that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us. Get us right back in line. Proverbs said, a just man falleth seven times. And that word seven means infinity. It means you will never stop being forgiven. Solomon prayed for wisdom. Solomon prayed for wisdom. He said, God asked him, anything you want. He said, Solomon, anything you want, ask me. Put us in that situation. Put us in that situation. We have a parking lot full of Rolls Royces. But what did Solomon say? He said, give me wisdom to lead your people. Listen. Jairus prayed for his daughter. Then the father prayed for his demoniac son. And Mary and Martha prayed for their brother. Well, I think one of the greatest prayers in the Bible, and I'm going to close with this one, is 2 Kings 20. I'm going to turn there and I'm going to read it. 2 Kings 20, I know that's... Get to Samuel and start moving to the right. 2 Kings 20. I'm just going to read it. You can write it down like Margaret do. Just write it down. Look at it later. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death.
Come on. Yes, he was.
Thank you, Hezekiah.
I'm talking about praying now.
Come on,
we're getting down. Okay. What'd you say, Deacon? Getting down. Get down and dirty now. See, sickness make your prayer life better. See, when your loved ones is in the hospital, you're going to pray. Okay. It says, in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. Hezekiah was a great king. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, thus say the Lord. Some folks say God don't change his mind. But I know prayer changes things. He said, thus say the Lord. Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. And see, back then, these prophets weren't like what we have today. Okay? See, we got some apostles and prophets up in Youngstown. And if they tell you you're going to die, you don't really have to pay them no attention. Okay? Because if a prophet was wrong in that day, he got stoned to death. You know, people would carry stones around their pockets. They didn't carry pistols. They didn't carry rocks. Listen, verse 2. And he turned his eyes to Hezekiah, and he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord. Listen, unto the Lord. Now, you got to ask something to pray about.
Yeah.
God just said he was going to die. Now, he getting ready to put his petitions up. He said he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech you, I beg thee, O Lord, remember. Wait a minute, you telling the Lord to remember? God want to hear you. God will say, you know, he comes to him in boldness. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. And enter his courts with what? In boldness. We ought to go boldly to the throne of God. Hebrews say we can come boldly to the throne of God. He said, and I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now. He said, God, remember now. How I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart.
Yes, sir.
He had something. He had a reason to live.
Come on. He can pray.
He had a reason to live, and you can go before God and say, I walk before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. This man didn't want to live just to see the Browns or the Steelers win another Super Bowl. Some folks don't have any reason to live other than just to go to Corral one more time. Oh, I just want to retire from General Motors. I want to use up some of this retirement. I didn't work 33 years. See, that ain't that. You can't go to God with that mess. You on your deathbed, you better give God a reason why you want to live.
And it can't be because I wanna see if Tiger Woods ever bounce back. That's not good enough. Or I wanna get my degree and go on into the world and use it to make money. Hezekiah wept sore. He wanted to continue serving God. We find the same story in Acts 9:36 about Dorcas. Bible says she was full of good works and alms deeds, and the people that they wanted to die. They said, knew Peter was in another town, came and got Peter and said, bring her back to life because she's good. And I had to ask her questions. What reason would God have to bring you back if you was on your deathbed? What reason would God have to bring you back? Do you have a reason to live? Do you have a reason to live? That's what he's saying. He said they came to pass before Isaiah was gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people. He didn't restore him. Don't tell him he's dying, but tell him he's the captain of my people. Thus say the Lord, the God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I've heard thy prayer. We got some folks going to the hospital. Brother Jeter going to the hospital soon. We need to pray for him. Reverend Jones going to the hospital Wednesday. He don't want to tell nobody. Every preacher say, you know, here's a prayer, either fill him or kill him. Say, pray for me. Well, I'm going to pray this. Fill you or kill you. Because if you ain't filled, you know, you're only good for God if you're filled. And if you're not filled, you're going to use your gifts for the devil, which is working against God. So God say, I'm fill him or kill him. Fill him with your Holy Ghost or take him home. Because if you come out of the hospital, and some of y'all been in the hospital, every time you leave, it's only by the grace of God. It's only by the grace of God. The only time they put you under and you come out of that, it's only by the grace of God. He said, I heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day. Oh, there's a picture of the resurrection. On the third day. And thou shalt go unto the house of the Lord. Listen, God, when God heals you, he didn't heal you to be on Dancing with the Stars. Okay, I hear people in them commercials on TV and, you know, I feel better than ever. I'm dancing again. God didn't heal you so you could be dancing again. He healed you to go to the house of the Lord and tell people about Jesus Christ. And I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the Assyrians. And I will defend this city of mine. And he did. Do you have a reason to be healed? Do you have a reason to live? Peter had to be broken down. Peter had to be broken. And God is going to break some of us. And when he brings you back to serve him. To serve him. He saved you to serve. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody need prayer today. Somebody need a prayerful life. Somebody has a boastful tongue. Somebody has a haughty spirit. Can't tell them nothing. I got some boys, and them boys of mine, you get half the sentences out, they answered it. They know everything at 9, 10, and 11. They know everything. Boastful spirits, boastful tongues, lack of prayer life, following Jesus at a distance. How far are you away from Jesus? How's your prayer life? Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we fill all those categories. We're so proud and haughty. We're so boastful and arrogant. Father God, we are. We are so in need of you. We are so desperately in need of you. Father, we pray right now for those that are here that have heard the message. Let them not leave here, Father God, like Peter. We all are in a position, Father God, to call on you. We know we're in trouble. We know we need you. We know we're not praying like we should. We don't want a fellowship. We drag ourselves to church. We don't evangelize. We're not telling folk about how good you are. We're the self-made man. We're the self-made woman. We can do it all on our own terms. We don't need God. Father God, we need you. We need you more today than ever before in our lives. So much is going on. All of us are facing trials and issues. Father God, we pray for these young people, Father God. We pray, Father God, that you would just continue to bring them up, Father God, in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Father God, we pray for Lashay, Father God. And I single her out this morning, Father God. We just pray that you would just fill her with the Holy Spirit, Father God. Give her a desire to want to come out to the house of God. To give her a desire to want to be a model, a role model among these young women. Don't let the world put their stinky, filthy hands on her. Don't let the world mark her up and beat her down and make her feel like she is nothing. But lift her up, Father God. Continue to fill her. Father God, we pray for them boys, these ushers, and these young women and men that are ushering. Father God, let them learn to serve in the house of God. We pray that you would bring up musicians. We pray for Bobby that he would just continue to want to learn how to play the drums, Father God. And Ray wants to play the piano, Father God. We ask that you would just fill them, Father God. Give them the discipline and the guidance to want to serve in your house. We pray for Brother Jeter, Father God. April 1st, he's going in, Father God. He's having some surgery, Father God. And we know, Father God, you are the great physician.
Yes, Lord.
Could care less, Father God, what doctor it is. We know you control the hands of the doctor. So we pray for him, Father God. We pray for Shirley, Father God. Sister Shirley, Father God, we pray that you would continue to heal her. Let her use up another battery, Father God. And when that one's gone, replace it, Father God. Give her a mind, Father God, to want to come to the house and say, thank you, Father, for all you've done. You didn't have to save me. You didn't have to heal me, but you did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Father God, we pray for Reverend Jones, Father God. On this Wednesday, Father God, he is going to be having surgery. Continue to lift him up, Father God. Touch his wife, Father God, that she will be by his side and strengthen him. And let him, Father God, depend on the Lord because he's the great healer. And bring him back. And let him testify how good you've been.
Yes.
Father God, there's prayers out there, Father God, that folks are praying right now. We pray for Sister Sheldon this morning, Father God. That you would continue to get her out to the house of God. It's so good to see our elderly people coming to the house of God. When they have more reasons than anybody to stay home, Father God.
come out, and they're a blessing for us to see them in your presence. You won't have to lie at their funerals, Father God. They serve you faithfully in their giving and in their presence, Father God. We thank you. We pray for Mother Shells this morning, Father God. She looks so alone this morning. Her family's not here. We pray for her and her family, Father God. We pray, Father God, for whatever reason they're not here, they're healthy, and we ask that you would just continue to work on their hearts and their spirits, Father God. We pray for Deacon Nams. Tough week of surgeries and stents and kidney dialysis and all these things, and he's still in the house of God.
Yeah.
Grunting and moaning and ad-libbing and thank you, Lord. What a joyful noise to hear him over there. Father God, we pray for this church as a whole. We pray, Father God, that you would continue to do what you do. We don't know what's going on, you know. We just want to be in your will. We just want to do what you want us to do. We just want to be faithful. So, Father God, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Doors of the church are open. Amen. Let's stand.
Come and go to that land. Come and go.